you're going to probably try to shut them down, right? Because you're feeling anxious. You don't want them to, even though like you want them to share, share, share. Sometimes we just want to shut it down and solve the problem, and we can miss some crucial stuff, right?
Hey, Mama. Welcome to the Balanced Mom Method podcast, a safe space to help you transform the way that you approach motherhood and life. If you're a mom struggling with self-worth, overwhelmed with overstimulation, looking to slow down, conquer mom guilt, let go of external pressures, or even embark on a spiritual awakening, you are in the right place. Let's break free from that survival mode cycle by waking up from autopilot and authentically embracing our inner self-love, trust, and connection. Imagine if every single part of your life was perceived through a lens of expansion, value, worthiness, self-awareness, and acceptance. Hey, I'm Jenna, and I've been where you are. I was consumed in the struggles of motherhood and was always in my own head, never feeling good enough. I realized if I wanted to make a change, it started within me. And in finding that freedom, I've dedicated my life's work to helping other moms heal from the inside out to come back home to themselves too. So take my hand, Mama. Let's set the foundation to live an intentional life full of peace, presence, confidence, clarity, belief, joy, love, and balance. If you are ready to weed the fluff, get to the root of cultivating real change, and feel connected to yourself on a love-rooted level, let's dive in and discover the power within you. Warm up that cold coffee, pop in your earbuds, and tighten that top knot, Mama. Let's overcome together. Hello, beautiful mamas, and welcome back to another episode of the Balanced Mama the Podcast. This is your host and intuitive life mentor, Jenna Smith. Yes, it is me, even though it might not sound like me. Sickness hit our household once again. Bless to you, mamas. This is the sixth season on top of everything else. So mama went down this time, but I'm feeling better. And it is the tail end of this cred, so just bear with me in my voice. I'm so excited for today's chat. Today's episode is another special one, as we have a wonderful guest joining us, Kristen Madison. She's not only a mom to two amazing boys, but she's also a passionate advocate for making motherhood an enjoyable journey. After facing the challenges of postpartum herself following the birth of her second child, she discovered just the power of routines in maintaining her personal mental well-being. And in 2019, she took her experiences and insight to the digital space, and she created a blog called thisroutinelife.com. And I have to say, when I started my blog, I saw her blog and she was a big inspiration to me. So when she emailed me, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the Kristen, like This Routine Life. I followed her so much. So I was so honored when she emailed me. But she not only shares just her personal routines, but she also highlights stories and routines of other moms. And just she fosters such a beautiful community where we all support each other. And her journey does not stop there. She has a background in counseling. She has a certification as a life coach, and she's expanded her reach by offering live workshops and coaching sessions with a mission to help moms feel less overwhelmed and truly savor the joys of motherhood. And this is incredible. What sets her apart is her knack for breaking down complex challenges into practical steps. Like hallelujah. Like we all just want simplicity, right? So today we are diving deep into her insights on motherhood, on the reality that yes, like there's tough moments and it's okay. So how to use grace over guilt, worry less, and know when it's time to almost let go of some control. I'm so excited to welcome Kristen. I want to pass over the mic to you, my friend, for you to be able to share just a little more about your personal journey into motherhood and what inspired you to start thisroutinelife.com.
Thank you, Jenna. That was so kind of you. Such kind words. And it was exciting when we connected and you're like, oh my gosh, I totally remember. Because I have to say, throughout the years, you know, 2019, I started thisroutinelife.com, and then I was so gung-ho. And then March of 2020 hit and I was like, so gung-ho. And then 2 months later, I was like, walked away for a little bit. So it was like so fun to hear, you know, that you had remembered and everything. So yeah, I would say, I mean, you mentioned a lot of it. I just really struggled with how I felt about motherhood after I had my kids and thinking that I thought it was going to be great. And I thought it was going to be all these like loving, great emotions. And it was like the complete opposite for me. And after going through my postpartum journey and my kids becoming a little bit older, I still was recognizing that I was feeling a certain way about things and not really enjoying as much as I wanted to enjoy being a mom. And so I remembered that I am a structured person and that I thrive on structure and I thrive on productivity and I thrive on simplicity also and not having a lot of chaos, so to say. And that is what inspired me to start this routinelife.com because it was going to hold me accountable to the routines that I wanted to implement in my life and share some of the things that were working in our household. And then, like you said, I really enjoyed hearing how other women were and other moms were spending their time and what they were doing to enjoy motherhood more. I also wanted to normalize that it's okay if you don't enjoy motherhood because I think we've gotten better, but I don't know if I ever received that message growing up that it was hard, that like you're going to worry no matter what, really, even though I'll talk a little bit about how not to make it so interfere with so much with your life, the worry, but it's like, I try to normalize that this is okay to like not enjoy every moment of motherhood either, right? We're going to have times where we want to run away, where we want to like hide in the closet, where we don't want to be around our kids. And that's okay. That's all part of the human experience. So
I love that you brought that up because we always like, that's where the guilt comes in, right? Like that's when we feel like we need to be maybe doing it all, or we're not doing something right, or we're not doing something how we think like we should be doing it. And there's all like so much stuff coming at us all the time. But that's like part of the human experience, like what you just said. So to really reconnect to you, and you said like you thrive in that capacity. And that's so amazing because then for you, you figure out what works best for you. But then some other people might not thrive in that capacity. They're like, where's Kristen? I need her in my life. Right.
Yeah.
So how kind of dive in a little bit more and like how you discovered like this transformative power of routines within your life? Like, was it, were your kids really small? Were within the, like that postpartum? Yeah, I guess that is most of my question, like how you kind of got out of that hole. So like you were in that postpartum, how old were your kids almost?
I mean, I remember when I think when I started going on medication, my youngest was probably just months old. And then my older one was probably 2.5. So that's when it started. And I would say at that point too, I just didn't want to feel like I was going to, explode all the time with just frustration and agitation and irritation. Right. So I think sometimes what I try to tell women too is like, you know, you can look at all the routines I have and stuff, but you also have to remember what season of life you're in and what's going to work for you. So keeping that in mind, like at that season of my life, I just wanted to feel a little bit more in control of my emotions. And I wanted to feel better. Right. And so I think what happened is that I can't exactly remember, but I do know that a morning routine has always been huge for me. Mm-hmm. And it's like almost impossible, right? When you have like little kids. But it's always been a real foundation. Before I had kids too, it was like my favorite part of the day. And it's what I really talk a lot about through the blog and when I'm talking in my community and stuff. But I remember like recognizing, even if it was like, okay, I don't know when the kids are going to get up, but at some point, you know, I'll make sure I've washed 3 bottles in the morning and got one of my kids dressed, like very simple things, but I was going to do that every day. Right. And that was starting to make me feel a little bit more structured again, a little bit more organized. Even if it was like by, you know, 9:00, we're going to get out of the house no matter what we do, even if I just take them for a short walk. So just once I was able to get out of that place of feeling the anxiety and stuff, being able to implement just small steps to get back into a routine. And then the other thing that always motivated me when my kids were little is like, what routines do others use for their kids? Like, I love testing out new routines on my kids, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like when they were real little, I don't even know what it was at the time, but it was like, they eat, they play, they sleep. Was it something, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah. I think I got the book. Yeah. I think I bought the book and I'm like, oh, I was so excited. I'm going to do this and I'm going to see how it goes. And for the most part, really, I did start to get my kids on a routine at a very, very young age because it helped me so much. And it really has helped them. Now, fast forward, I have an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old right now. And not to toot my own horn, but I like to say like that my kids both go through their morning routine seamlessly and get everything done. Now that has taken, like I said, they're 8 and 11, and I started at a very, like I said, when they were babies, really doing a good morning routine with them. And my 11-year-old now has even, without us prompting or saying anything, has even started working out for a few minutes in the morning. Like, he's added that into his routine. So of course for me, right, I'm like, oh my God, I love this. Like, he's creating his own ideal morning routine. Right. So, I think, it was really a way for me to feel like I was being productive, and, I was able to manage a little bit of the chaos.
Oh, and that's wonderful, because I'm also a very routine driven person too. And that was something that saved me in those postpartum days. And that's also what inspired my business too, which is crazy, because you're like, how can I add one more thing to my plate? But like, you hit that quote unquote rock bottom, you know, within that postpartum. And I was like, I need to make a change also. And my son now, who will be turning 5, like, if we don't follow the routine, it's like, Mom, what's wrong? So I get it. And I mean, it's a very proud moment, but then I'm like, did I go a little too strong? Because like, he still has kind of those tantrums sometimes when it's like, if we're out of sync. Right.
I get that. I go back and forth too. Sometimes like, am I too disciplined with this, with them? Am I not? But really, at the end of the day, whenever I would try to install new routines on them, I was, and let me say, not like when they were 2 years old, but as they got a little bit older, I was very disciplined in the beginning. Like, we had our morning routine checklist. I talked a lot about that on the blog and stuff. And like, I'm not joking. I didn't just talk about it. Like, we use that every day. Like, they would bring it to me before they left for school. If they didn't complete everything, they might not have screen time after school. Like, I was really very disciplined with that from the very beginning. And I've let up a little bit now, because they've built those habits. They brush their teeth, they wash their hands, they do the things, they really dress themselves to go to school. So I don't feel like I'm so, but when they were young, I was very disciplined with that.
Of course. And my son just started 4K and getting out the door. I mean, it was considering, I mean, we had to get up a little bit earlier, but it was pretty seamless. So, I mean, kudos, because now, like what you said, now your kids are like at that age to where they're starting to implement what they want to do too, which is awesome. That's so great.
Yeah.
So, okay. We talked a little bit kind of before we started recording, just about the importance of using grace over guilt. Can you kind of elaborate on what you mean by this personally, and kind of how other moms can adopt this mindset of grace over guilt?
Yeah. I mean, I would say for me, the biggest change I've seen with that is when I would lose my cool with my kids, when I reacted in ways I didn't like, when I yell, I immediately would go to the place where I would tell myself I'm a bad mom. I would feel horrible for how I behaved. I would feel a lot of shame and guilt. And this would just become I call it like the angry, yell, feel shame, guilt cycle. Because once you're feeling that shame and guilt, you're feeling so poorly about yourself, then it's really easy to get upset again, right? And to yell again and to get into that mode. And so I would get myself in these repetitive modes where it was almost like it was so hard to get myself out of feeling this constant frustration and stuff, because it was more with myself, but I was projecting it to my kids. And what ended up happening is, through some coaching and stuff, I was like, wait a minute, like, I need to go easy on myself and see what happens. I like to look at everything as an experiment. So it's like, let me see what happens if I don't beat myself up. So I'm not going to resort to guilt. I'm not going to tell myself I'm a bad mom. I'm just going to say, that was tough. You're a human. You know, that maybe wasn't the, you know, the best way to handle it, but it's okay. Like, you can, next time you can handle it differently. You can apologize. Like, it's okay. Nothing really went wrong. And when I went from that, came from that place, that grace, giving myself grace, I was able to diffuse that cycle, and kind of like, I like to say I cut it off, because I was more in a positive emotional state now versus a negative. So I wasn't continuing to like cycle out into this like yelling anger phase. So I was able to feel better about myself. And then once again, I projected that onto my kids. So then I was able to apologize. I was able to, and then I would handle the next situation differently, because I was acting so much more kindly towards myself in those moments versus reacting out of anger and things like that. So nothing, I always like to say, Just use it as an experiment with yourself. Nothing can go wrong if you use grace. You do not, let me tell you this, beating yourself up will not get you anywhere good. You may think, mm-hmm. oh, I'm going to beat myself into, you know, not yelling, or the more I'm down on myself, the more I'll feel bad about it and then I'll change. Never works that way. Mm-hmm. It might work that way for a day. Believe me, I've seen this and I've been that person. For a day, I'll be like, it's okay. It's okay. Like they do something, you know, mm-hmm. and you're like white knuckling it, trying to be calm. But it doesn't last long term because mm-hmm. you have to really change the way that you talk to yourself and stuff. So I always say, like, just test it out. Next mm-hmm. time you do something you're not proud of as a mom, like give yourself grace and just see the outcome of that. You know, and sometimes in those moments too, like your kids surprise you, because when you don't harp on whatever situation it is, they may come up to you and say, I'm sorry. I've had that happen too, where like out of nowhere, my child came up to me and was like, I'm sorry I acted that way. And it was like, that would have never happened if I had just continued on with the cycle.
Right. Exactly. Or yeah, that's so, so true. Oh, I just lost my train of thought. I was going to say something in terms of the grace, but that's so beautiful that you just said, like your kids will then come to you, because we had the same thing happen last night. During bedtime routine, both my kids were like playing, you know, when it's time to go to bed, yes. and like trying to play along, but still trying to keep that boundary. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, we're not going to finish this nighttime routine if you're not going to, you know, I'm singing my song, whatever I was doing. And I stepped out to just use the bathroom. I was going to come back. And they were both like, whoa, like she's never done that before. And the first thing when I come back, my son's like, mommy, what are you grateful for? Because that was the next thing in our routine. So it's so true. Instead, I could have like yelled, you know, and what have you. But I just said, like, in a stern mom voice, right? Like they know my levels. But and then I stepped away so I can calm down, come back. And exactly, like he had that space also to calm down or whatever that was.
Yeah, that's great. Yes. Yeah. So you're able to see that too. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Right when you said that, I was like, yes, 100%, because we're not so like the projection, what you said, that was another amazing point, because what we're feeling inside, yes, they still need boundaries. They still need the discipline. But a lot of the times we're projecting our emotions and what we have going on too, on that one little straw that broke the camel's back, right? When we could be giving that grace. So
yeah.
What are some practical tips? Like, is it breathing, meditation? Kind of like, how did you kind of change and shift that mindset? Do you have any practical tips to share to kind of shift into grace?
One of the things that I always recommend is that, and this helps you kind of, is like giving yourself an additional pause before you react to a situation, or even after you've reacted to a situation. So I'm huge on timers. I love like setting my timer for 5 to 10 minutes. I use my Fitbit all the time and just being like, okay, at the end of this, I can decide how I want to handle this. So I can either go negative, like hard on myself, or I can give myself grace. Same thing with how you react to your kids. They're, you know, making a lot of noise, fooling around. Like you said, like it's exactly what you did. I can step away for a few minutes and then come back and I can be intentional with how I want to approach this situation. I think if you can cut yourself off somehow, and so that you become more intentional with how you react to things, that has so much power instead of just reacting. Because for the longest time, that's what I was constantly doing, was just like reacting to whatever situation was in front of me.
Mm-hmm. That's really true. That's a really good point in that sense of like stepping away, setting that timer. I love timers too. So when you said that, I was like, yes, I love timers for everything.
Yes.
But yeah, to be able to like regulate that nervous system, to calm yourself down, to be able to respond with intentionality. I love it. I love it. So in terms of worrying, I know, I feel like we have like, it was like the guilt, the worry, the letting go of control. So moving on to like worrying in motherhood, because we're always worrying, like everything, the downloads, everything coming in, right? Everything's always, we always feel that way. There's always something to worry about. So are there specific strategies or mindset shifts in terms of kind of reducing that unnecessary worry? You said that you kind of wanted to touch on that too.
Yeah. So I think that one thing we need to recognize is that worry robs us of the present moment, and it can really rob us of our connection with our kids. And I'm sure we've all experienced this. Like even last night I was laying with my son, and he is 11. He's getting so big. And I was just laying with him, and all I kept thinking about was like how fast time was and I'm going to miss laying with him and I'm going to miss all these things. And that's, it wasn't necessarily like a worry, right? But it was just like, it made me like sad. And I'm like, which isn't always bad, but instead of just being very present and like, you know, like really feeling his hug and things like that. So it's like, I always like to think when you're not present with your kids because you're letting your mind run off in worry mode, you're going to probably try to shut them down, right? Because you're feeling anxious. You don't want them to, even though like you want them to share. Sometimes we just want to shut it down and solve the problem and we can miss some crucial stuff, right? So just to pedal back a little bit, one of the things that's really helped me with this is kind of what we talked about, like the acceptance of the human emotion, 50% good, 50% bad. In any given day, we're going to feel horrible things and good things, right? That's how life is. I just had this conversation with my son too, kind of like life isn't always just fairy, like unicorns and rainbows, right? The reality is good things happen, bad things happen. It's always been that way. So the sooner that you can kind of just accept, even though it sounds dark at times, that that is the reality. And the worst thing that can happen is that you're going to feel an emotion about something. Then things that maybe used to scare you or bother you don't bother you as much. So I used to lay in bed at night worried about what was going to happen to my kids when they got older. Were they going to be like drug abusers? Like all these things that I have no control of right now, right? Mm-hmm. And like here they are, so cute. Like right. When they were 5 years old, laying in their bed. And this is what I'm thinking about, you mm-hmm. know? So it just causes me to feel anxiety. And then I would act out of that anxiety, right? So when I was able to kind of accept that and feel into that and recognize that, yeah, like these things may happen in the future. They may happen tomorrow. I have no control over that. And the worst thing that's going to happen if it happens is I may feel an emotion that I may not like. I was able to kind of let go of that and also have trust that I can probably handle whatever will be given to me. And once I had that acceptance, I could then be with them in their time of need. And I could like sit with them at night in bed and not, I could be present with them and not think about what would possibly happen in the future. If they're sharing something that happened at school, instead of thinking about, oh my gosh, I have to message the teacher. If this keeps happening, you know, who's this kid? Who are the parents of this kid? Like all those things that we as parents think about, right? I could be listening. And because what, you know, I've had this happen too. Like my son has shared things with me and like, I get all worked up and the next day they come home from school and I'll be like, how did it go? You know, what happened? And they forget what it was that they were so worked up about, or they're like, oh, it's fine. You know, we're friends now. Or, you know, so it's like, if you constantly respond out of worry and anxiety, it will eventually probably make a rift in your relationship with your kids and you won't enjoy motherhood as much. So I think just really trying to stay present, recognize you can't control. Listen, your child could have the most beautiful upbringing ever and things are still going to happen, right? We see it all the time. So it's like, you can only control right now.
Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah. And presence, like when I, especially when I had my second, like when I had my first, of course, like you want to be present and like everything changes, right? When you're a first time mom, like your whole world changes. But then presence, like being present really came into my life because like nothing else mattered. And because I do struggle with anxiety. So that was a really big piece of my life, let's say, like with my intentionality and like the presence that I have with my children, because, okay, you don't want these moments to go away. But again, that's life. Like time is passing. So the one thing, because the majority of people do not live in the present. So to be able to cherish those moments, that was something that really helped me too. And the actual listening piece, what you just said, like actually listening to them, because let it be like you can help them through something versus thinking like, okay, messaging the teacher or what have you. They need you right now, you know? So in that moment, that's what they needed was you, and let it be your care, your love, your compassion, whatever that is, but your present time, they sense that, like your energy, like they know. So that's a really, really good point. But moving on, you said letting go a couple times. So like kind of segueing now, like letting go, surrender, like that's it's so hard, right? It's such a challenge. So how did you navigate this? Like, how did you learn to let go of that control?
Well, I would love to say I like let go of all the control, but that's definitely not true. But I think what happened is I recognized how much my need for control was causing me to react to my kids in discipline in areas that weren't necessary So they're making loud noises. So they didn't listen the first time. As annoying as that may be, as much as sometimes I wish that wasn't the case, it's not necessarily grounds for like, let's take away the screens. Let's, you know what I mean? So I had to recognize how much I was trying to control so many things in my environment. And like the bottom line is from the time your child's born, you can't control everything about them. Like if you're a first time mom, you probably remember being out when you were a first time mom in public with your newborn. Like, I hope they don't cry. I hope they don't cry. Right. Cause it's like, you're like, oh, you don't want them to make a lot of noise. People are going to notice. And stuff. Like, you can't control that even at that age. So when I could just recognize that my need for control was causing chaos in this house and causing me to yell a lot, I was able to like really test out once again. It was a lot of just testing out. Like I would set my timer for like 10 minutes, be like, pull them in the hall while they should be getting ready for school. I could go out there, send them both to their room, or I could wait 10 minutes and see what happens. And sometimes I'd wait 10 minutes and I'd go out there and they'd be getting ready. So here they had this great time playing with each other and now they're getting ready and I didn't even say anything. And I could have just disrupted that whole thing and caused chaos, right? So it's like I wasn't even allowing my kids to really trusting my kids to do the right thing because I was always trying to control immediately how they were going to act or how they were acting. So I just that recognizing of how much, like I said, it really was chaos I was creating by trying to control so much, even from them at a young age. And then once I saw that, being able to test out what would happen if I took a step back. Like I said, I wish I could tell you I do that all the time. I don't, but I'm finding it more and more that when I do lay off and I don't react to my ability to want to control things, magical things sometimes happen. And it's, and I'm so thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And this is an example I'm thinking within our house, like, because if you're a type A, routine driven, you probably like a tidy home, right? So then you try to keep your house, you know, yeah, nice and tidy or what have you. And then you want the kids to then like go play, go do your own thing. So then they make this big mess, you know, in the middle of the living room. So that's something like for me, obviously that was like, I'm sharing me as an example. Mm-hmm. It's like, we'll clean up the mess. We'll get it done. You know, you want them to go play by themselves. You want them to be independent. So they're making a mess for a little bit. You know, so that was, I just thought of that example because when you were talking about that, because that was something that I had to let go of, like,
yes.
And it teaches them also those habits also of, okay, after we're done, you know, let's make the biggest mess ever. But after we're done, then we get to clean it up. So to me, I mean, our kids know all about chores because I was a stay at home parent, you know, with them. So, you know, to know like, okay, this is when we do the cleanup. This is when we do the dishes. So things like that. So as someone kind of with a background in counseling as yourself and being a certified life coach, you help moms with a lot of challenges. Like we just went through a whole slew of things that I feel like you have helped an amazing capacity of moms in these fields. How can you kind of help or how like any practical tips with creating routines, like as a whole, like let it be with your mental health, with your physical health, with your home, like how do you kind of, what are those, do you have like a framework of like first steps?
Kind of, like I would say the first step is to figure out what type of day or what's going on that makes you want to create the routine. So if it is like, let's just say morning time is super chaotic in your home, then what I would say is then we just focus on like the morning time. You write down the steps of like everything you'd like to get done in the morning realistically. Like I said, I always want to start with where you are in your life and realistically what you could get done, what you want your kids to get done. And then if you can fully execute the routine and just keep testing it out. But sometimes if your kids are really young or, you know, you have a lot going on, sometimes it's just taking the first step in the routine and getting that down and then moving on to the next step. So the biggest thing, like everything too, is to give yourself grace with that. Like you got to test it out, right? You're not going to be perfect. Our brain hates change. Our kids don't like change sometimes. So they're not going to be perfect. So if you're trying to get your kids into a routine, I always say, give it at least like a month before you totally throw in the towel and you're like, we're not doing this. And guarantee you're going to get pushback, not only from your kids, but from your brain, unless it's something you're so excited to do, you're going to get pushback for a while and you're going to fumble. It's not going to go perfectly. At one point you're going to say, this isn't worth it. The fight's not worth it. You know, I'll just, they don't have to brush their teeth or whatever about their hair. Who cares? Like, it's not worth it. But it is worth it. really in the long run. So stick with it. Understand that it doesn't have to be perfect. And pay attention to all the little wins along the way. So that morning when you get out of the door in time or with 5 minutes to spare, like mentally give yourself a high five, pat yourself on the back, like celebrate it. I don't know, my phone must be somewhere, but I was going to say, even in my notes app, like I'll do a, like a wins, like document your wins. It's something we don't do as moms. We don't write down the things that are working. We're always thinking about what needs to change, how this should be better. I should be doing this. So just start there. It doesn't have to be perfect, but yeah, just start with an area that you want to improve. Put the steps in place, how you want to improve it in the time frame, and then test it out and go easy on yourself, go easy on your kids, and give it a chance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so true, because that's, like you said, where the grace comes in, because it's never going to be smooth sailing, you know, yeah. Especially getting started. Any new habit, like working out or whatever it is, like that third week is like when a lot of people quit. So starting any sort of new habit, it's going to have that pushback. So I'm so glad that you brought that up, because it's so true. And just know that you're never, never alone in wanting to start that.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have one more question.
Okay.
And this is something that I'm starting new on the show, and I just love how open it is for you. So I'm totally putting you on. I'm putting this out here. So, okay.
All right,
first time I'm asking this question. So I wrote it down. Do you think that the decisions that brought you here, do you think that the decisions that you made that brought you here to this point today, can you discern when you listen to your heart or like your intuition or that gut response versus maybe like those decisions that you made from like your ego or thinking like, oh, I had that gut response, but I went the different way. Like what, cause I thought I should be doing it this way, or thought maybe you like of what was expected of you. Does that make sense? Like how,
yes.
Do you have any discernment with that? And like, how did it shape your path? I have to really narrow that question down. Yeah.
It's a very good question. And I love it, because I actually was thinking about this today. I think that when you listen to your heart, it's a very kind of a quiet and a calm knowing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And a feeling, and like, I don't know how it got there, but it's like there. Now, I think when you're listening to your ego or what you think you should be doing, it feels very hurried and very fast and very like, it doesn't feel always so like kind, if that makes sense. It's mm-hmm. almost like, oh, you should be here. You should be doing this. Like, and I think one of the things that when I was going through this parenting journey, I would do a lot of journaling. And that's where I feel like my heart was able to come out. It was like, I had so much information from books I read, things I listened to, what other people said, but it was really when I could sit down and write things out, it was more my intuition of like, no, I know what's best for my kids. Like I'm their mom. Mm-hmm. Right. And I love some of these ideas I'll take with me, and some of them I'll leave, because I don't think that is so, it is going to work right now, but it's so easy to get caught up into, I think you said like the ego, right? Versus your intuition, because I think sometimes that seems more fun and more like, I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I know we talked about a little bit over email with our businesses, and it's mm-hmm. like, I go through that so many times where I'm like, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And then I totally avoid my intuition and what it's telling me I should be doing. And then what really ends up happening is I push myself so much farther behind than I want to be, because I had got caught up in that other,
yep,
the shoulds and listening to what others think is best. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, but it does. And that's so beautifully put, because I feel like the automatic writing or the journaling that you do, it's so powerful. And when you said that, I was like, yes, because that's a piece that I, through meditation, and sometimes I'll like funnel that down into journaling and automatic writing through my meditation for the same reason. So that's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh yeah, that was a great question. Thanks for asking.
Yay. So, okay. What services do you offer? Where can people find you, Kristen? I'm so excited.
Okay. So you can find me at thisroutinelife.com, just like it sounds, thisroutinelife.com. If you hop over there on thisroutinelife.com, I have my little quick guide to lessen overwhelm and enjoy motherhood more. So that is a free guide that you can grab that covers all the topics like kind of condensed down into this very helpful guide. So there's productivity tips, time management tips, routine tips, self-care and sanity tips, how to be a less angry mom. I kind of put the best of the blog all within that quick guide to lessen overwhelm. But I also offer live workshops and one-on-one coaching and things like that. So, but just start by going to the blog.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That freebie sounds amazing. Thank you so much for putting that together and just having that resource for this community, like for moms in general. That's amazing.
You're welcome. Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much for being here with us today, Kristen. I really enjoyed our chat
together. Shanna, this was fun.
Yes, yes. And thank you so much to my mamas again. Everything that we discussed will be linked in the show notes below. Thank you again and have a wonderful, blessed week. Until next week, my mamas, as always, simply be you. You have everything inside of you to find your peace, feel your balance, and embrace self-love, trust, and interconnection within your life. We're sending our love and light.
Please give my review.
Thank you so much for spending this sacred time with me on the Balanced Mamatha podcast. I am sending you so much love and covering you in light, praying this episode has helped you in some way. And if it has, I'd be so grateful if you left a written review sharing how it's impacted your life. It truly lights me up hearing how you are on your way to your breakthrough. And also, please share this episode with another mom who may be struggling, to remind her that we are never alone and to help give her that empowerment to take that first step. And be sure to check the show notes for additional ways to connect with me, our motherhood empowerment community, and if and when it feels good to you, learn how we could work together to help you reclaim your power, Mama. Thank you. I appreciate all you are and all you do. Sending my love and light.